Hi, I'm James Connor, and welcome to Inspired by Their Stories, the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation's monthly podcast. We have a great conversation lined up for you today, but before we get there, I want to start by bragging a little bit on our humanitarian hotels. The Pulte Family Charitable Foundation operates three humanitarian hotels where 100% of the net profits go to charitable causes both in the U.S. and around the globe. Each of these hotels received some great accolades last year, so let's talk about it. The St. John's Resort was named as one of the top 10 favorite resorts in the Midwest by Travel and Leisure magazine, and Condé Nast ranked it as the number 5 best resort in the Midwest. Additionally, the LIV Golf Tour recently announced that it will hold its team championship at the Carlo course at the St. John's Resort this August. Talk about exciting news. Now, Time magazine recognized the Inn at Stonecliff, one of our other humanitarian hotels, as one of the world's greatest places in 2024. Now, the Inn at Stonecliff is on Michigan's Mackinac Island, and TripAdvisor named it the number one hotel on Mackinac Island. Last but certainly not least, the Hilton Garden Inn in Laramie, Wyoming, right off the campus of University of Wyoming, was awarded the Best Hotel by Best of Laramie. These honors reflect the hard work of our team behind the humanitarian hotels, so kudos to everyone involved. I also wanted to mention our upcoming 2024 annual report that will be released in just a few weeks. We always take a look back at what we were able to accomplish with the support of all of our partners, but this report will cover the past 5 years. Some of the numbers that we put together are truly mind-blowing. It's hard to believe that our giving has touched 15.3 million people across 43 countries. We are so blessed to be part of something meaningful like this. But now let's get to the heart of today's episode. I'm thrilled to welcome my friend and colleague Bonnie Schmidt to our podcast. Bonnie is a remarkable woman who wears a lot of different hats. First and foremost, Bonnie is a mom, but she is also the co-founder and director of the Ideal Foundation here in South Florida. The Ideal Foundation is a nonprofit organization focused on providing opportunities for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And the Ideal Foundation will also be a partner with the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation in developing the Ideal Place, an affordable housing community for adults with IDD. But you'll hear more about that later. So welcome, Bonnie. Thank you for joining me as my very first guest.
Thank you, James. What an honor to be your first guest.
Why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about your daughter, Jessica?
Thank you. I love talking about her. Jessica is now 41 years old. So I've been her mom for 41 years, and it's, in some ways it's very easy to be her mom because she is the sweetest, most loving, happiest girl. But in many ways it's very difficult because she's still like a little girl. Even though she's 41 years old, she is more like a 6 or 7 years old, and in some ways even younger than that, because she does require help all the time with everything. So it's kind of a challenge, but in a way, it's very rewarding because I know for sure she's happy and doing well and, raised with a lot of love.
Yeah. I want to go to the first conversation you had when you got Jessica's diagnosis. What was that experience like?
I will say that it was probably one of the top three most difficult days of my entire life. And, I didn't get her diagnosis really until she was 4 years old. But the first sign of a problem was when she was 6 weeks old and she had seizures. And I had to bring her into the doctor's office, to show him because it was very small and only upon waking up. And when I called, he just kept telling me I was a nervous mom, And so I did bring her in while she was sleeping and showed him when I woke her up what would happen. And it definitely was a seizure. So going to the hospital then, it was so, so scary. Just people running all over, like you see on television, trying to figure out what's wrong with your baby. And, for the most part, they really didn't know anything, even though we were there for 3 weeks. They took a lot of blood. She had CAT scans, MRIs. At the time, 41 years ago, MRIs were not very common. And just having her go through that as such a tiny little baby was very difficult. But the first thing that they told me was that she probably would never walk, would never talk. She had something called high ammonia levels, which is toxic to the brain. And no matter how many questions I asked about how to reduce that, nobody gave me any answers. And there was no internet or Google that you could look up and find these things out. So, you know, I was raised to trust in doctors and, you know, not really question too much. But I remember my dad was with me and he told me, what if they're wrong? Let's just look at her. She's happy. She was already smiling at 6 weeks old. And I said, okay, we're just going to go that way. And we're just going to do whatever we have to do to help her. And so as difficult it is, it's easy because I just want to do right by her.
Yeah. You talked about her smile. When I think about Jessica, I always think about how engaged she is in talking with people. I think about how she has that infectious smile and how she just wants to be wherever the action is.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
That's her. Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about what it's like to be Jessica's mom today?
Today, again, very difficult, but, you know, very easy in so many ways. Difficult because not only is she 41, but I'm 67. So here at 67 years old, I'm still showering her every day, still taking care of every single need that she has, you know, dressing her, any decisions, taking her to doctors, doing all of her therapy with her. Every single thing has to be done for her or with her. So there's no free time. And yet I have to work. So it's a challenge to be able to keep up with the energy level and all that. But on the other side, Jessica's just the most sweetest girl. And, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't have those moments of pure love and happiness and joy. And, you know, I still look at every single thing that she does and accomplishes as a dream, you know, and a goal.
Yeah. All right, Bonnie, you mentioned your work. So besides being a mom, obviously you have a 9-to-5 too. So can you share with us about what the Ideal Foundation is? Where did it come from? Tell us about that.
Absolutely. My pleasure. We started out when Jessica turned 22, because at that point there were no programs that she was able to go to. There was really nothing for her to do. And that's when all of the funding and all of the opportunities kind of end. And so at first, I paid a teacher to be with her, but that did not work out very well financially because I couldn't earn enough as a bookkeeper to do that. So I decided to start a company. We love candles, and my husband felt that we were spending too much money on candles because I kept burning them. And he said, let's try to make them. So that's what we did. We started making them. And honestly, Jessica really ran with it. She absolutely loved the process. She helped us kind of navigate creating special tools because her fine motor skills are really weak. And, you know, we had no choice. If she wanted to be involved, we had to create specific tools for her. And we adapted all of the materials that we needed. And she just kept inviting friends. And, oh, the doorbell rang. Yep. So I invited Michael to come and make candles. So every night we had 10, 11 of her friends over making candles. And we realized this is definitely not only a business that we could try to have everybody work with us, but also kind of like a program, because this gave them a fun day, fulfilling day, and they were learning as they went. We could teach them job skills. We could teach them customer service. And it really kind of evolved naturally from a home business. And then we moved into our first store. And that's when everything blossomed. And then I met Denise.
So tell us about Denise. Who is Denise and how does she fit into everything here?
So Denise met me basically because her daughter, Lexi, who is 10 years younger than Jessica, so she's 31 now. After she graduated from school, she experienced the same problems. And in Lexi's case, she has multiple medical needs. She's type 1 diabetic and has so many other medical needs that many of the programs that existed at that time would not even accept Lexi because of her constant need for monitoring throughout the day. So she found me at an event for special needs and came up to me and said we needed to meet. And she originally had planned on doing a coffee shop for Lexi, but I don't drink coffee. And I said to her, no, I'm doing candles already. And I think we could talk. But, you know, I was a loner in very many ways. So she did come in. Our first thing was, I think we're going to be best friends. And I immediately shot that down. But she is extremely persistent. And she said, you know, working together, we can expand the mission. It was really her that brought to light what happens as they get older and what happens when we're no longer here.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really thinking along that way. I just figured Jessica would live with me forever. And maybe two other girls would live in our house and I would take care of them forever because I'm the mama bear that likes to cook and do all that. So that was my, you know, my goal. And she convinced me that we had a lot more to do and that there was so many others that needed our help. And that while she was looking for other people to work with her, I was the only one that was willing to put that skin in the game and really, you know, work as hard as it takes to do this.
Yeah, I think it's important to help everyone understand. Can you help me scope what is the size of, what does the IDD population look like in the state of Florida?
Just in Florida, there are, I would think it's now 800,000 adults with IDD, and it grows every year because more and more people are getting diagnosed earlier. When Jessica was born, autism wasn't even a word that we talked about, you know, so much. And now it's you hear it almost every day, you know, someone that you know, their child is on the spectrum. So, and more medical advances. So the population is so large. And what's happening is because of these medical advances, this is the first generation that's actually outliving their parents. Years ago, especially people with Down syndrome would unfortunately not live past the ages of 40, 45. And now they're living into their 70s, their 80s, almost having a normal lifespan. And as parents age, it's just so difficult to take care of someone that needs so much support, especially in many of these syndromes and genetic disorders. There are, as they age, they have, you know, additional medical problems. So you can imagine, you know, a 70-year-old woman having to shower a 40-year-old man. You know, it's very difficult. Thank God I have a daughter that is a little bit easier for me and she doesn't have behavior problems and she's extremely cooperative and fun to be with. But I really do feel bad for so many other people that don't have a Jessica, you know, that have someone that needs so much more, you know, physical, like to be really physical with them.
Yeah. So for those families, what does it look like? Who takes care of those of their children as they age?
It's really dismal, to be honest with you. And I don't think it's just the state of Florida, but Florida is actually 49th out of 50 as far as rankings for support with people with IDD. So we're not in a good position yet. I moved from New York because Jessica needed the warmth.
Yeah.
And the only family that I had lived here, and I felt that was a better decision for me. But group homes, which are, they're run by the state and they're funded by Medicaid waiver, the budget is so small that if there's five or six adults in a group home, they basically eat the same things every day. They all have to do the same things because they don't have enough staff and they don't have highly trained staff. These are people that work for agencies that are typically not trained in areas of special ed or OT, occupational therapy. And it's really just getting through the day. It's really just keeping them alive.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I have some friends that actually their children were killed in a group home by running out the door and nobody caught them. And
my goodness,
it's just horrible. You know, some of our friends from Special Olympics have lost their children because of this problem. And there was no way that I was putting Jessica in a group home. I would have lived in a box, and I still will if I have to, she is going to be in a place that has dignity and supports and help. And that's just me. I worked my whole life for this. And you know, Jessica will not be doing that. But unfortunately, there are people that have no choice. They really don't have any other way to provide a home for their child.
Yeah. Well, that is the perfect segue to talk about the ideal place. Now, I mentioned this in the introduction, but the ideal place will be a home for mild to high-functioning adults with IDD. And if we hit our fundraising goals, it should be open in 2026, becoming the first facility of its type in Palm Beach County, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, is the county that has the third most adults with IDD in the state of Florida.
Correct. You know, and keep in mind, so many people retire from up north to Palm Beach. And those that have a child, an adult child with IDD, they're bringing their child with them. What are they going to do? So, yes, Broward, Palm Beach, and Dade are the most populous counties in Florida. And there are no homes, no communities like the ideal place. So this is beyond a dream come true. This is a dream. This is a vision. And we're still pinching ourselves every day that this is actually happening.
Yeah. Well, so besides existing, what are you most excited about for the ideal place? Like, what sorts of specific things will just be that answer to prayer or that dream come true?
Number one and foremost in every parent's mind is safety, because our kids are so vulnerable and so innocent. Jessica will talk to anybody. She'll actually ask you if you're a stranger. So then you're not a stranger anymore, you know? So obviously, very unsafe. So for most parents, safety is the number one issue, and the ideal place will offer that safety net. Community. It will offer them a family. Yes, it's not maybe a blood family, but this is a family that they will be with for the rest of their life. And these are people that they feel comfortable with. They've laughed with, they've cried with, they support each other. If one is sick, the other one takes over and helps them. It's the most loving group of humans ever. So they will have safety, community, affordability. The way the ideal place is being structured, it will be affordable using programs such as the low-income vouchers and being able to afford a beautiful, loving home like this is a major issue for most families. Everything else, the programming, the fact that they will have purposeful days between sensibility candles and other jobs that some of them are able to have. The ones that are able to be competitively employed will have their jobs, opportunities to volunteer, be part of the community around them. We're going into a beautiful town that everybody in the surrounding area is very excited for them. We did a door-to-door knocking visits before we even, you know, purchased, before the Fulte Family Charitable Foundation purchased the property. We met so many of the neighbors and everybody was embracing, which was not always the case in previous land that we had found.
Yeah. And I understand that you were able to take a lot of the participants from the Ideal Foundation over to the site the other day. How was that?
Yes, it was very exciting. The concrete was being poured. We've been there a lot. Many weekends we go there just to, you know, look at it and
watch
take
it come
pictures,
to life.
Watch it come to life. John with his drone, and we watch all the video and get excited and talk about, you know, how life is going to be. But the other day was surreal because watching the 20 trucks, it seemed like, you know, pouring concrete, building the foundation of the lives of these adults that really did not ask for this life. You know, these are innocent people that were just born with whatever situation they were born with. And now they are experiencing something that was just for them. That doesn't happen to them very often. So it was really a beautiful day.
Yeah. Now, I understand that this project will also be beneficial for Florida taxpayers. Can you talk a little bit about what those savings look like and how that works?
Absolutely. Typically, for someone like Jessica, she, in order for a group home to take care of her, it's 24/7. So the cost for her would probably be between $130,000 and $150,000 a year, where with the ideal place, with the low-income vouchers, it's going to reduce that cost per person, I think, to under $40,000.
Wow.
So it not only makes sense from an emotional, from a human point of view, but it is definitely a good financial move for...
Yeah. Not only does it make sense, it makes sense.
I don't know. Sense. Yes. Sense.
Now, I know we're still fundraising for this project. How much more is needed to bring this to fruition?
At this point, we still need to raise between $5 and $6 million. And while it sounds very overwhelming to someone like me who leads a very simple life, we will continue to do whatever it takes to raise this money. We are so grateful for everyone that we meet that donates. And there's no donation too small, but obviously we need to connect with those of wealth that do believe in this mission, that do believe that these innocent, vulnerable adults deserve to have a life with dignity. And there are many opportunities for naming rights. And, you know, you can make such a difference if you are a person that is able to do that financially. It would just mean so much to everybody. And keep in mind, this is just the first. This is a model that can be spread throughout not only Florida, but nationally. And so there is such a long legacy that they can create, whoever donates to this, that it really would change your family's legacy as well. And it's a wonderful cause. It truly is.
Now, if we have anybody out there that's listening that is feeling particularly generous, who should they contact? Where do they go for more information?
Definitely contact Jeff Bookstein at the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation in Boca Raton, Florida. I don't know the number offhand. You'll have to provide that for me. I know how to get there.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's a website.
And there's a website, right? idealplace.org, and it will show you beautiful renderings of the buildings, explain about how the layout was created and why it was created that way. True independent living with choice. Our children are going to have choices about their life, which if they did go into a group home, they would lose all of that choice. They would lose all of that independence and lose their ability to really just live fulfilling lives. So idealplace.org, there's a donate button there. The best thing to do, I've done it for Jessica, have my family do it, is sign up for recurring donations monthly. And every single person that does that, you will know that you have blessed these amazing adults with a future home. These are forever children. So if you think about them, yes, they might be 35, 40, but they're forever children.
Yeah, that's just such a great message about the impact that somebody can have for these wonderful individuals. I mean, I'm always so blessed when I get to spend time with anyone from the Ideal Foundation.
Thank you.
Looking ahead, what are your hopes and dreams for the Ideal Foundation? If we're talking in 5-10 years, what do you hope has happened by that point?
First and foremost, I want to see all of our adults safe, living in the ideal place. Potentially, maybe there'll be other communities that the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation will build. I want to see them all living fulfilling lives with purposeful days, whether that means working at Sensibility Candles, working in a job that they're able to handle, working in a place where they volunteer. Whatever it is, I want them to be happy. Obviously, health. We want to be able to provide good opportunities for physical fitness, healthy nutrition. You know, we want them to live a healthy life and be happy. Lots of fun. Definitely, we're totally about fun. You know, we always say we put the fun in functional when it comes to every single day. And we would love to be able to spread that message of how important it is to partake in this beautiful project. I would hope in 10 years I would be retired, but I don't know about that. I know many of our young adults, they said they're going to wheel me to the golf course if they have to.
Something else we are always going to be mama bear.
I think so. I hope so. That's for sure.
Well, Bonnie, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you so much for being our very first guest. We are just so grateful for everything that you do for the Ideal Foundation, that you're doing for the Ideal Place. And we can't wait to see how this all comes together.
Thank you so much. Remember, the most important thing you can do today is go to idealplace.org, sign up, become a donor. It will change your life, I promise you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bonnie. And thank you all for listening to our conversation today. There's plenty more to come. So join us next month when we will be talking with Vicky Sokolik, the founder and executive director of Starting Right Now, an organization that helps unaccompanied youth in the Tampa Bay area. I just read her book. It's called If You See Them, Young, Unhoused, and Alone in America. It's a great read, and we'll be talking to her about that and the stories that are in that book. The Pulte Family Charitable Foundation is so grateful for our incredible partners like Bonnie and Vicky. There are so many people doing good around the globe, and we can't wait to share their stories. So that's a wrap on this episode of Inspired by Their Stories from the Pulte Family Charitable Foundation. If you're feeling inspired, share this episode with a friend. And until next time, be good to each other and inspire others to do the same. Thanks.